Welcome back. I'm Keith. I'm here with Russian Danny.
Yo, yo.
Mike Fiella.
Hey, buddy. Why is my last name the only one that keeps coming?
Oh, sorry. Let's
redo
that.
No, no, no. No, it's fine. It doesn't matter. You could everybody. I'm open about that.
Well,
what's been going on with you guys? What's happening?
What's happening? I found out who my dad was a week and a half ago.
Oh, really? Wow. I did some great shopping the other day.
Where at? What'd you get?
Yeah, you got to talk about that just a touch, right?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You mentioned it last week.
I did?
Briefly.
Oh, so I don't need to mention it.
So Charlie's clearly over it.
Yeah, Charlie, that's all.
Yeah, you mentioned that shit last week. Oh, sorry, yeah. Charlie. It was just my dad.
Yeah, sorry, I've lived my entire life up until a week and a half ago without knowing who my father is.
Sorry I brought it up again. Yeah, you redundant prick.
Old fucking news, Keith.
Sorry, Charlie. I know you don't have these kind of problems at the lifeguard tower.
So wait,
this
so what'd you buy, Mike?
Is a soda. How dare you? I said mix rizzo.
I did the 23andMe thing and basically found out my dad's not who I thought it was, and he's alive. I'm going to meet him in a couple of weeks.
No way.
Yeah.
I can't. When you texted me, I was like, it's amazing to me because, you know, I'm adopted, and that's like, it's pretty fucking crazy. I was like, I can't even imagine. And you have like half siblings too.
Four of them.
Four half
siblings. I've never had siblings in my life.
You never had siblings.
Aunts, uncles, cousins, none of it.
And so same dad, different mom.
Correct.
Copy. And then is that a different, no, I guess that's all, it's all genes. And then your dad, you had thought your dad was a man who had passed away.
Right.
And
that guy is dead.
He is dead.
And my real dad knew him.
And your real dad knew him.
They went to high school together, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. And is this your real dad, like, a.k.a. was with your real mom, I guess, right?
Apparently, my real dad, the guy that we thought was my dad, this my actual dad says, the guy that my mom was dating was, like, the love of her life. They had broken up for a spell, or he went to Vietnam or something, and my mom dated this dude briefly and then dumped this dude, went back with the guy we thought was my dad. So the part-time lover is my dad.
Wow. See, my mom got me a 23andMe kit, and I'm kind of scared to do it, you know? Cause then, like,
a lot
what,
of people are.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Then, like, what if I'm not, you know? What if I'm, like, it turns out I'm Turkish or something? Like, what the fuck do I do then? You know, I'm fucked. Like, I'm like my entire identity is
his
fucking,
whole hang up is he doesn't want to not be Russian Danny.
Yeah, yeah, even though I'm not Russian, you know.
Who started calling you that?
I don't know.
Is it since you've been sober before?
No, since I've been sober.
Wait, what do you mean you're not Russian?
Oh, I'm Ukrainian.
Yeah. Oh, Ukrainian.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ. Sorry about that.
But.
And you came 7 years old, right?
7 years old. Yeah.
I remember that.
In the secret society, a lot of people have, you know, nicknames, you know,
right?
Christmas
right.
Tree Larry, Russian Danny,
right? Right.
Produce
right.
Bob, you know,
Gary the dentist.
Gary the dentist.
I'd take my sailing name over just Meatball. Meatball, you got anything to say? Not today, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm coming.
This is a fucking good episode.
I know.
This is a good one. We got our guests Joey and Annie back on. And Joey shares a story with us about how, I don't want to give too much away.
No, sometimes things in small bags aren't what you think they are.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And same, I had a same, you know, same experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Annie thinks that meth is helping her creativity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Danny's first arrest.
Definitely not my last, but.
Yeah. Joey and the Black Hands. Mm.
Barbecue, that's where the name Barbecue Joe came from.
Is it?
Barbecue Joe, yeah.
That's amazing.
Barbecue Joe came from those hands? When he told that story, I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. That picture of him, what's in his teeth?
Pen ink.
That's pen ink.
Yeah, okay, or like marker ink.
I thought he'd been huffing. Oh, he was. Was he sniffing marker?
I don't know.
I can't remember how that
Because I was like, dude, you have either just eaten a lot of kale, which seems like an odd choice for the amount of drugs you were doing, but, or yeah, that was, yeah.
I had a similar thing where when I would smoke heroin, because you smoke it on foil and like you light the bottom of the foil. And
they call it chasing the dragon.
Yeah, chasing. That's what the kids call it.
But can I say the first time I heard that, I was like, yeah, you know who doesn't call it that? This guy. Are you fucking kidding me? That is some fucking Keanu Reeves bullshit. I mean, no, just Keanu. I don't know why it came up, but it sounds like Keanu Reeves in Chasing the Dragon.
I heard it. I was like, we chasing the dragon. I had a straw, like, you know, the Tudor you used to smoke it.
Yeah.
And I found like a little dragon thing and I fucking, you know, hot glue gunned it to the straw. So I was like, now we're really chasing the dragon, motherfucker.
Oh, God.
But I had a thing where like I would smoke it, you know. I was so fucking weird. Like I would like have meat chicks, you know, and I wasn't ever like a creepy drug dealer kind of guy where like I wasn't like, yeah, come on, I got something for you. But I would like, you know, like I still wanted to keep it kind of like suave.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Yeah, no. But I'd be like, oh, you want to smoke some heroin? And I would do like little designs on the foil. Did I ever talk about this?
No.
Before? I would do little hearts and shit. And I would like you know, like you turn the foil to do a heart design. Then I'd pass it over to them. Like, yeah, that's for you.
No way.
But in the process of doing that, you're burning the foil and then you're holding it. So your hands are getting black. And then
yeah.
When you're doing opiates, you get a little itchy. So then you would go and I would go and itch my face or something, you know, and by like, and then hours later when I looked at myself in the mirror, it looked like I just came out of a fucking coal mine, you know, literally covering you. Like it's itchy. Not Ass Wednesday, motherfucker. You know?
I get itchy. Normally you get itchy. It's dry skin. You get itchy on opiates.
Yeah. Oh
opiates.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I never fuck with those pills like that. Never fuck with the opiates. Because
my friend Henry was smoking heroin and fucking some chemical reaction.
Yeah.
Between, I did something on the foil and something the dope was cut with, I guess.
Yeah.
It like fucking changed his brain. Like he lost his fucking marbles.
Really?
From it. And then then he died a few weeks later. Killed him.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
The opiate thing, I took a Vicodin, like seriously, I mean, I'd taken some, but I took a Vicodin once, like in the early 90s, up at in Altadena. And it, for whatever reason, like I either didn't have any food in my stomach or whatever it was, it literally was like the next 10 hours was just me rolling in agony in my room. My stomach hurt so fucking bad. And I was like,
really?
Well, that's my relationship with opiates. Wow. From now, like I was never, it was like, they ain't a lot of things that have scared me off, but I was like, okay, if there's a chance at all that could happen again, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Like it was so unpleasant. And everybody else was having a great old time, but I don't know, for whatever reason. I also don't like the whole thing of like, you know, a little Valium here and there is nice. You know, take the edge off the day. But like, the idea that you just take one of them whoppers and now everything that it is in you. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, all right, the next thing is like, I got a limited window to vomit if shit seems to be going south. Mm-hmm. Like, I like things you can sip on. You know, just be slower. Not that it's not dangerous. It is dangerous. Things you can sip on or fucking can bite you in the ass. But more than just like, there you go. Like LSD, I enjoyed doing acid, you know.
I loved acid.
Here and there. And I had a ball doing it. But definitely part of my trepidation initially with that was like, once you're in, you're in. You're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. And that,
that's the only drug that never gave me a bad handshake. And I've been to jail twice on it, and it was still fun.
Really?
Wonderful. I love that drug. But
no, it was a good drug. It's a good drug. No.
I just can't do anything in, you know, moderation.
I don't remember my first time trying an opiate, you know, like a pill or anything, but I remember the first time I smoked heroin, and it was sold. It was New Year's Eve, and it was like I had a Coke dude. He was like a Persian guy from the Valley, and he like brought some Coke over, and he was like, hey, you ever try smoking opium? And I was like, no, man. Like, he's like, yeah, check it out, you know. And he like had this whole like, he sold it very well, you know. And like,
yeah.
And I just remember like, you know, we put it on foil and I smoked it and I like took two hits and I fucking ran to the bathroom and I threw up and I was like, fuck, that's so good. Like, I fell in love with it. And I called him like, you know, and then we partied, we went out, we did whatever. Like, it was one of like, you know, I remember that night so great. You know, it's fucked up because for years, anytime, like, it didn't matter like how fucked my life was, I would always remember that one night when I did that and we went to like Hyde on Sunset and it was like some fashion show and I was just like,
really, oh, damn.
And I'm really feeling myself and like talking to all these chicks, you know. But like, I never remembered like, oh, I was homeless living next to fucking, you know, off the 101 and like all the shit that, you know, it was that one night. But I called a dude the next day and I was like, hey, man, you got any of that fucking opium? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, dude, that stuff, like the opium, you know, the stuff. He was like, I don't know what the fuck you're, what opium, you know? And I was like, dude, the stuff we were smoking on the foil last night. He goes, oh, you mean black tar heroin? And I was like, oh, yeah, you got any of that too? You know, it didn't matter at that point. Fuck. What an asshole. But you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I think we got, wait, we got two more stories, right? Oh, yeah.
What else we got?
We got Keith's Red Devil lie story.
Oh, God. Lie. You always know a story's good when lie's in it.
Yeah.
Lie is always
Red Devil. Yeah.
When lie is on the premises, wonderful things are happening. You're either.
What about the. Yeah. And it literally had like a Red Devil on the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, there was like the name of it, everything about it. You're like, this shit is bad news.
Do you guys watch? Here's something that make me remind. Do you guys watch Pose at all? Have you watched any of that at all?
No,
it's the Ryan Murphy show about the Vogue houses in New York City in the 80s. And it's really. It just nails the period of time of New York, right? It's like happened to be just like a time when I was in New York a lot, like late 80s, early 90s, right around when, and it's basically like the underground vote. Paris is Burning. Ryan Murphy basically took Paris is Burning and turned it into a TV show, right?
Okay. So
it's pretty fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's an amazing scene in it where, and this is a spoiler for anybody who's out there who's listening, but there's an amazing scene where one of the, and it made me realize, I was like, wait, that happened. And I went back and found it, and he totally lifted it from Paris is Burning, where one of the this was a drag queen, not a transgender woman, but a drag queen, and who somehow got into a fight, or they don't know what happened between her and this guy. And she basically, they think, stuffed him into a bag and like really, really mummified him and put him in a chest of, you know, like a trunk in her closet. And one of the characters in Pose does the same thing. This happens to Electra Abundance or Electra Extravaganza, whatever. I think Electra Abundance. And she, you know, is working in an S&M joint and a guy cools it. And the next thing you know, she's got to get rid of this body. And so she wraps it up in this crazy Naga hide, you know, at the time. And I was just like, how would that even work? And then, you know, stuffs him into a trunk and into the closet. And they didn't find that dude. In real life, they didn't find him for like 20 years, 25 years.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, it was 20 years because the woman died, and years later they went back.
Someone, and it was in her house?
And it was in her house, yeah. Very, very
imagine
strange.
Going to like an estate sale and being like, ooh, look at this trunk, you know?
Yeah,
oh,
look at look at this trunk.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But anyway, shout out to the folks on Pose for keeping it fucking...
Yeah.
Just insanity.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, let's
I don't know
get
how we
it.
Even got on that. Let's get
yeah.
into it.
You, yeah, right. You brought that. I don't know where that came from.
No, it was something to do with. I was thinking about the
Red Devil lie.
Oh, the Red Devil lie. Mm. The Red Devil lie. And I was like, why didn't they just do that? That's right, of course, because I'm a fucking demon. I was just like, you got a bathtub? It's just like, it's in the jeans. You got a bathtub? Why would you not throw them in there? Put the lie in there. Cut them up into pieces. Put the lie. 2 days later, you got soup. and I was like, wow, that's so elaborate. But apparently, that shit worked. Mm. So there you go.
Yeah.
Right? What do I know?
Making mummies.
What do I know?
Making mummers.
Making mummers, baby.
Let's get into it. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Yes.
Joey, tell us about that time you were looking for a bag of dope.
Oh, okay, yeah. Another, you know, I was up for a while, right? And I had a really bad hustle conceived in my head where it was like, I'd be in the homegirl's car and we'd be at a gas station, right? And I'd be like, okay, you sit in the front seat. Let me handle this, babe. You know what I mean? And people would come up and I would basically go, check it out. I'm on a first date. My check didn't clear. Like, I don't have any gas. Like, you see, and they'd look over and they'd see home, you know, her sitting in the front seat. I'd be like, can you just help me with a little something? And they'd break off five or something like that. And I got a little too, I was there for too long. You know, 4.5 hours later of doing this, like, things were, you know, it was pretty blatant that there was something astew, you know what I mean? And to the point of, like, even when Danny was talking about, like, run-ins with the cops, and you're just so out of your head that you don't even realize, like, this is a burn. Like, you know, and I think they even came up and were like, hey, is everything cool? And I'm like, yeah, bro, everything's good, you know, just filling up or whatever. And they're like, they're like, okay, you know, and you know, whatever. I end up pulling out, and they jam us up. No registration, DUI, something, right? And I end up going to Van Nuys, right? And I'm scouring. I was so spun that, like, I was convinced that someone hid drugs in the cell. You know what I mean? And I was scouting it. I mean, it was quick like that. I was in there probably like 8 hours or something, but it was like, seemed like 15 minutes. You know what I mean? And they released me at fucking 5 a.m. And it's like, it was like, beyond carpet cruising, it was like cement cruising. You know what I mean? Like, the world is your carpet, you know? And I'm walking up Van Nuys Boulevard looking
positive for shit. You're going to find a bag of drugs.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to find some dope for sure. You know what I mean? And I'm walking up Van Nuys Boulevard, and I call, you know, a friend, and I'm like, hey, you know, it's 5 a.m. Like, come grab me. I'm right here on Van Nuys and Burbank, whatever. And there's a Ralph's right there. And there it was. You know what I mean? I found a bag of crack, right? And I was just like, I knew it. You know, I did the score. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, thank you, God. You know what I mean? And she comes and she picks me up. And I'm not, you know, I did some crack, but not as much. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't as verse with crack as you know, the other stuff. And so she picks me up, and it's 5 a.m. So obviously we got to wait to, you know, get our smack for a few hours or whatever. But we managed to get a stem, and we're fucking blasting off. You know what I mean? Straight. Bell ringing, you know, like, train is coming, like, we're partying, you know, and we end up at some spot. It's probably like, you know, I blink my eyes and it's like noon and we're at some spot, right?
Yeah.
And I pull out my stem and I'm like, hey, homie, like, I got a little cavi. And he's like, oh yeah, for sure, you know. And he grabs it, hits it, and he's like, what the fuck? He's like, dog, what? And I'm like, it's fire, right? And, and he's like, this ain't cavi, fool. What the fuck? This ain't burning, right? You know? And I was like, what? Like, and it, you know, my mind is like, what's going on, you know? And what it was like, you know, like, you get a dress shirt or like a pretty much a button up shirt, right?
Yeah.
And they'll have like a dime bag with like a button, an extra button.
Oh my God.
Right? And it's like an off-white. It's off-white, like crack. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it was ran over, right? So it even gave that it had the look, you know what I mean? And everything. Not only was I smoking on this button for hours, 4 hours, but like, homegirl too that was with me was blasting off too. And it was like almost a placebo effect, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, if you dream it, you can achieve it, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, it was shit, like, you know.
Dude, that is amazing.
Commonplace, you know.
So, I'm not surprised, because this fool, when he would smoke like drugs, like, his nickname was Barbecue Joe, because he would just turn. He didn't do it.
Well,
right.
Like I said, I never followed the right meth
protocol.
Etiquette.
You know,
I'd smoke with your meth mom. I'd fucking burn the piece everywhere I went. You know what I mean?
I love that shit.
You know,
ew, oh, you yeah. Like it, jelly?
Oh yeah, I don't give a fuck.
You know, ugh, that will make me gag.
So they call me Barbecue Joe.
Wait, what's Jaylee? What's that mean?
Jaylee, that means that it tastes really bad. Jaylee is just like dirty and unclean. And when you have, it's time, like, say you get a piece of like shrapnel from the outside that's not meth into a meth pipe.
Yeah.
And it just has the most foul, and I made up the word Jaylee, taste to it. Not that I've ever been to jail, because I don't get it caught, you know.
What you just said, I hadn't thought of that in well over like 15 years. Like, I don't know if I've thought about it since when it is about 20, is a good 22 years ago. But I chased a pebble down. I was out somewhere with a buddy. I cannot believe this. And we were like, yeah, let's go do that. And we had our $35 and we went out there. And we got someone gave us something that I believe you would call concrete.
And
a whammy. That's called a whammy. When you buy some fake
and
drugs.
We looked at it, and you want it to be something else so bad that your perception of it is totally inaccurate. And I was just like, just trying to fucking, this concrete just will not light up. It is just, it's not even getting hot. Yeah, it's such a bummer.
It's a defeating feeling, you know, yeah, yeah. When you're on a mission.
No, and then your vengeance will be yours. And then you're like, you're least ineffectual. You're the most ineffectual Batman in the world. There's no one you're going to go get it back from. Like, oh, yeah, let me get back out on the streets. I will right this wrong.
At least
I will get my desire. I will get what I'm due.
Had the, like, wherewithal to like do a very convincing like fake drugs. Like I remember once my friend Michael wanted to buy some like Adderall, but you know Robert didn't fuck with Adderall, but he was like a evil super villain when he was high, and he's like, oh well, there used to be this drug back in the 90s called whatever it was called, which was basically meth, capsulated meth. So he took meth and he emptied out some vitamins and put the meth inside of him. He sold them to my friend and said, this is called like whatever the fuck that drug was called. He sells it to my friend. My friend calls him the next day like, yo, he was pretending it wasn't for him, although it totally was. And and he comes back actually like 3 or 4 days later, 10 pounds lighter, and and he's like, yo, my friends really like those pills, so I'm getting them some more. And I was like, holy shit. And then eventually he's like, yo dude, I've just been putting meth in capsules, like just smoke the meth, okay? And then he did, I think. People need to feel like they're doing something a little more high class sometimes than just taking meth in a capsule.
That's funny. I have a story about a friend who— am I good? Can you? Yeah. All right. I have a story about a friend who I'm pretty sure learned that same hustle from Caddy, about Chris. Your favorite.
My favorite.
Your favorite. So he had a whole thing where like he would sell fake drugs. Like we would be hurting for money and he would be like, all right, fucking Craigslist, you know, and he would just go on the wanted ads and he knew all the hip fucking terminologies, like Tina Turner tickets. All right, fucking here we go. And we'd just like go and get fucking— we'd be like, all right, I need to go to the store, get like fucking ice cream salt or rock salt, and would bag it up. Epsom salt, yeah. And he was such a sketchy guy where like there's no way this is gonna be fake, you know? And he would go and be like, fucking, it's Craigslist. That's what they deserve for fucking wanting to buy drugs off of me, you know? But I'm sure he learned that from—
I'm certain.
Yeah, without a doubt. But I got one. I got a fake drug, well, a drug mishap story, I guess, about him where— I've lost a lot of teeth since this instance, you know, but this is my first time ever like losing a tooth. We had this friend, Max.
That's amazing.
Have I told this one or no? First time losing a tooth. And we had this friend, Max, who was a British guy who— I think I talked about him before where he helped set up that whole fucking robbery that went wrong, you know. And he would always pop beers with his fucking, with his tooth, you know, just one of those guys, you know, he's fucking, you know, he's like a bloke, like, you know, fucking from, you know, a hooligan from the mean streets of London. And he was always popping beers. And one night we were all fucking— we had like a bunch of Klonopin and some weird fucking random pills. We're at our friend Mike Horton's house. His parents owned this house off of like right in, Hancock Park, like right off of Wilshire and Highland, you know, and the street that they lived on was called Longwood. So we would call him Mike Longwood, you know. And he would always— we would have parties. We'd be like, there's a party at Mike Longwood's
house.
Sounds
like a porn star.
So all the chicks would be like, oh, fuck yeah, Mike Longwood. They get there and it's like our little dorky friend, you know? But so we're having a party and fucking Max is popping these beers and he's all fucking cool and he's got the girls around him. Mike Longwood has a name like fucking Mike Longwood. So he's got the girls around him. And I was like, you fucking assholes. Like, watch, give me a beer. I can do that too. So I go to pop a beer and I had a Crown. And fucking half of the Crown just goes boo and fucking pops out, you know, and lands on the floor. My friend Chris is like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, I can't believe that happened. I'm going to put this in my fucking jar, like random jar of mystery pills, you know. And I think you guys know where this might be going. So we're taking Klonopins or whatever other pills he has, you know, and like the sun's coming up if you're doing fucking coke, you know, and the sun's coming up. And he's like, man, he's like, I can't believe— he's like, I can't believe you fucking, you popped your tooth off last night. And I'm already like drunk and fucking fucked up enough where I forgot about it. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, dude, look, I got it in here in the fucking pill jar. And he opens up the jar and pours out all the pills, and it's all Klonopin. There's no more tooth. So this motherfucker was so out of it that he ate my chunk of the tooth thinking it was a fucking Klonopin.
Your tooth was probably pretty potent, too. Yeah, that's yeah, yeah, exactly. A little Del Taco, a little fucking some from who knows where. Oh, yeah. That shit probably hit, you know?
Snow cones. Yeah. Danny, Boulevard snow cones.
I thought Danny was going to tell the story about the time the guy Chris, like, I guess, I'll call him Caddy, stole Chris's laptop.
Oh, man.
And then, you know, he got Russian Danny, which I thought was like an old guy somewhere. He's like, this guy, I know Russian Danny's gonna like open the unlock the laptop for me. I didn't know that he was really good friends with Chris. And so that was so weird to come and get sober and be like, oh my God, you're Russian Danny. You unlocked what was going to be the best laptop of all time, except then Chris came and broke into my house, stole it back, and stole a keyboard thing. And people were always kind of just like stealing back and forth. Like the night that Robert relapsed, we had played a show in our weird band that we did. And
LAX Glory Holes or something else.
That was our band with you. Okay. That was called what was that band called? Like Wife Beaters or something like that?
Battered Women's Home.
Battered Women's Shelter.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. It was all freestyle, but Joey would always like go into freestyling about LAX Glory Holes, which is weird. Why is that in your subconscious? And he seemed to know so much about, like, he's like, and then you go down to the second floor.
It isn't usually in your subconscious, you know?
Yeah, it's your subconscious telling it's the world what it needs to know. Meth made me the best freestyler, at least with a vagina, in the world, because I was always like talking to myself, and I was like, I became aware, like, this is crazy sounding. If there's a little bit of musicality to it and it rhymes, I think I can get away with like 24/7 talking to myself. And so I did. And then I really became so good at freestyling.
For sure. I mean, it does give you some musical aptitude. Like, I remember one time it was a week and I was running around my boy Eli. Shout out, Eli. And we end up at this drum and bass party, right? Like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
You know, fast-paced drum and bass shit. And I was feeling pretty, I was dipped that night, you know? I was in the zone, and I hit the stage and just like walked up there like I own the place, grabbed the mic from the MC, and you know, and just straight up. Well, my version of the story is I killed it. I brought the house down, right? You know, there's chicks in furry boots dancing, and it was like this little rave type thing, you know? But Eli's version is a little different. I didn't kill it as much as I was thinking, you know what I mean? But the illusions of grandiosity, regardless, it was real to me, you know, where I stepped off stage and I was like, drum and bass MC, no problem. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you weren't thrown off the stage. You weren't escorted out by security.
Probably only because I looked so menacing, you know what I mean? Just like, maybe, I don't know.
Sometimes that's all it takes, is that belief. One time me and Robert went to court where I defended myself as a sovereign citizen against a failure to stop at a stop sign ticket, which could have might have had me classified as a paper terrorist to this day. I'm not really certain.
How did that go, F. Lee Bailey?
It went pretty. I mean, it didn't go bad. The whole, like, the idea. I studied sovereign citizenship for about 1.5 hours before my court my court date, but I just knew that I didn't, like, fuck this ticket. I'm like, this shit isn't real. Like, I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna do something, and so I did. And I walked in, and with all the not, like, Robert happened to have a go right ahead of me, and he was like, Your Honor, I don't think this ever happened. And she's like, well, it did. Go pay this to the thing. Go, then you're free. And for me, I was like, excuse me, Your Honor, is this being, like, you know, recorded? And she's like, yes. How do you plea to your charges against you? And I was like, I would like to know what court this is being charged in. you know, criminal or whatever the other one is. And she goes, it's pseudo criminal. And I go, pseudo criminal. I'm unraveling the mystery. Like, because sovereign citizenship says this is all like the court systems are illegal. They're all, what do you call it? Sea law for like trading, buying and selling over the ocean.
I believe something very soon, whale oil and mead are involved. I can tell. Well, I can tell.
It's
this
allegedly
is something you learned. You read it on Michael's.
I watched it on YouTube videos.
That's
actually
amazing.
But
God bless.
And there was like an animated frog that was teaching you about sovereign citizenship. Oh yeah.
And then
I was like, fuck. There's a few other weird things like that where you ask them questions that reveal the kind of house of cards that the whole court system's based on. And then the judge was getting sick of my questions. Or no, I was pleading like whatever amendment is says, like, I don't understand the charges against me. And she goes, your charges are failure to stop at a stop sign. And she's like, I'm just going to mark it down, not guilty. And you can go to a court date and defend yourself. I go, let the record show the judge has said I'm not guilty. And
no way.
Yeah. And then she goes, bailiff. And the bailiff starts walking toward me and getting his keys. I go, okay, okay. Robert was like, you just almost got arrested for contempt of court. And I was like, I know. He's like, should we wait in line and get our fucking papers? I go, no, let's get the fuck out of here. This is not real. And then we left.
Man, I don't know. Like,
that's good.
When I'm on drugs, I just, you know, I get this like super fucking, it's meth, let me redact that statement. When I'm on meth, I believe that, and I don't know, I got to a certain point, like a little bit after my dad kind of passed away, where I was just like, yo, I'm running the fucking show. And everybody's just a pawn in my fucking chess game. You know, like, I got this. And I would have motherfuckers come to my house and I would just have, like, insane amounts of meth and heroin. And they would come over and, like, want to hang out. And I'd be like, you can't just sit here. You got to do shit. And they'd be like, what do you want me to do? You know, all fucking shook. And I'd be like, we're going to Home Depot and we get fucking a bunch of paint. And I'd be like, you paint this room. You fucking do that. You're Sasha, you're going to fucking paint the toilet fucking gold, you know? And she'd be like, okay, you know, so we like, spray paint the toilet gold. You know, the room gets painted a certain color. And I'm sitting back. I'm like, fuck yes. I figured it out. I cracked the code, you know? But when I was a little younger, because I first did meth when I was like 15, 16, 17, then I stopped and I didn't really do it for 10 years until around the time my dad passed away. And I got a court, the first felony arrest I got was it was a vandalism charge. I was with my homie Nico and we went out one night and we took a bunch of Xanax and we were smoking meth and drinking White Russians. For some reason, I think I just watched like Big Lebowski and I was like, we got to drink White Russians. Yeah. I still had my fake ID at that point.
Which version of Lebowski had you been watching? We got to drink White Russians and get a bunch of meth. There's no meth in the film. Well...
The art scene details. Where they're fucking flying on the contraption, they're spun out for sure. Yeah. It was just subtle. Yeah, you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
So we were walking from like 18th Street in Wilshire to Venice Beach to get some MDMA from another friend of mine who's like now just fucking completely spun out. And we at some point realized we had like markers and a scribe on us. So we're like, oh shit, we should start writing on stuff. Like we love doing this, you know? So we just start writing on everything, you know? Because I was a tagger kid. And some woman saw us doing this and followed us and wrote down the address of every single place we had caught a tag on and called the cops and waited for the cops to get there. So not only were we arrested with the fucking supplies of what we did, but there was a woman that had a notepad and was like, they did this here, they did this there, they did this there, they did this there, you know? So we go to court, we get a fucking, he's like, my grandpa has a lawyer friend. He like defended the fucking Rat Pack and shit. And I was like, oh, tight, you know? Great. Not thinking that if this dude actually defended the Rat Pack, he's like going to be 90 fucking 6 years old at this point.
No.
Like prehistoric.
Right.
So we pay this guy a bunch of money. We get to fucking court. He literally would like fall asleep fucking in the fucking courthouse. Like fall asleep, like, you know, he'd show up fucking dandruff all over his
Should have given him some meth.
Right? Yeah, that's what he needed. He would, at one point, this is the Beverly Hills court, you know, and at one point he approached like he was like, Your Honor, I'm going to approach you, and like came up and tried to whisper something in the judge's ear. And the judge is like, you can't fucking whisper in my fucking ear in a fucking, I was like, fuck, this is fucked. So I was like, hey, you know what?
let me represent myself, you know? And they're like, all right, cool. You know, I was like, fuck this guy. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Cause, and then after like the preliminary hearing, he was like, oh, it's going to be another $5,000. I was like, dude, fuck out of here, you know? And I ended up pleading guilty, whatever, and getting a bunch of Caltrans time. Like, I got probation and Caltrans time. And like, like 300 hours.
What's Caltrans time again, real quick?
Oh, all right. So first, wait. The judge was like, hey, I'm going to give you an you like community service, you know? Like, you can do the time of community service.
Clean up the freeway.
Yeah. I still got Caltrans hours over my head.
Which I don't know why my dumb ass was like, oh, I didn't take the time. You know, I don't know. I was like, I hadn't done any, like, I had never been to jail at that point. So I was like, I'll do fucking whatever. And he was like, community service. He's like, all right, you have three options, Mr. Harunji. You could do beach cities, which is like you clean up the beach, you know. You could do graffiti cleanup, which is like Hollywood beautification team, where you would just go and like buff graffiti off the street. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to be like caught by my homies buffing graffiti. I'm a graffiti guy, right, you know. Right. He's like, or you could do Caltrans freeway shit. And I was like, dude, I'll take beach cities. He was like, all right, cool, Caltrans it is. And I was like, fuck, fuck, you know, 300 hours. Oh, and I kept being like, all right, I'm going to go. And somebody told me, just get extensions. Cause that'll make it, like, I don't know why, you know? And you would just listen to these idiots, where I was like, fuck it, I'll get an extension. And finally I ended up getting the last extension, where like I have 90 days to do like 300 hours, which like I'm not fucking good at math, but it's damn near impossible to do, you know? It's 8 hours a fucking day. So I would have to go every single day, weekends included. I had a job. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. And I get it in my head where I was like, if I go one day and I get the sheet, then I could just sign off on it myself, you know, like a fucking court card or some shit. Like, it'll be fine. I'll get my homies to sign it with different colored pens and different signatures, and I'll be good, you know? So I get there, the Caltrans, you report to Torrance, and I show up, and I get there, like, I didn't have a car, you know? So I fucking take public transportation to Torrance. You're supposed to be there by 5. I get there at like 4:50. I was like, word, made it just in time. And they're like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, what? They're like, this line, like, you got to be here at 4 o'clock to get on to that day's fucking, because there's so many motherfuckers, they're doing Caltrans. So I turn around, I go back home, I'm like, fuck, this is fucked up. Like, I'm never going to pull this off. Next day, I wake up at like 3 a.m., 2 a.m., hop on the fucking bus to get to Torrance from like Miracle Mile, where I was living, get down there, and I do like 4 hours of this fucking community service. And I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to fucking pull this off. Like, this is fucked. Like, I will never in my life be able to complete. This is the worst thing I've ever done. And I remember walking up to the dude, to the supervisor guy, and being like, hey, can I just get a sheet for like a half day? And they're like, no, you can't do a fucking half day. It's 8 hours or nothing, you know? And I was like, fuck it, I'm out of here. I remember just throwing the orange shirt, and I was like, fuck y'all, I'm done, you know? And I go home, and court comes up, you know, and I'm like, what am I gonna do, you know? Oh, and I forgot to mention, this is the same judge in Beverly Hills courthouse that just locked up Lindsay Lohan for not doing her fucking community fucking service. So if she's gonna get, he's like, just,
you know, you're
it,
going down.
I'm fucked. Yeah, I ain't no Lindsay Lohan. Yeah,
low, low, dude.
And I, it's like the night before, and I'm like, fuck, what am I gonna do? And once again, this fucking, these like grandiose ideas start coming to you. You know, I fucking did a little rail of speed, and I was like, I'm not sleeping tonight, you know, because this is fucked. And I, you know, and I always thought of myself as quite the Photoshop wizard, you know. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go online. I'm gonna find the Caltrans logo. I'm gonna make an Excel spreadsheet where I'm gonna put the Caltrans logo on top of it. And then I'm going to get my fucking homies to sign off, and like one in a blue pen, one in a fucking black pen with whatever. So I get it done. I bring in the fucking thing. I sit there. You hand the fucking papers over to the fucking bailiff, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there, and like, I'm about to come up, and I'm like, yeah, I got this. And it hits me. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm literally in a fucking courthouse with, like, for some stupid fucking charge, which ain't shit, really. Now I'm committing, like, I'm committing a federal crime, like, fraudulent documents. Like, what the fuck is wrong? And there's no going back. I can't, like, run out of the fucking courthouse. They already have it. So the dude calls me up, and he goes, Mr. Arunji, he goes, oh, you're another extension, huh? And I was like, well, man. And I just see him bring over the paperwork, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And he looks at it, and he goes, wow, I'm amazed. He goes, never in a million years would have I thought you would have gotten it done.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, did this really work? And he goes, I got to have the, he goes, yeah, send that over to the district attorney. And I'm like, oh, fuck. That it is. I'm fucked, you know? And the DA looks at it, and he goes, Your Honor, I've never seen a piece of paper that looks like this from Caltrans before. He goes, but all the hours and the signatures are here. And the judge goes, ah, file it. And I was like, no fucking way. Man.
Wow, that's how RH like, negative goes, shit right there.
He goes, Mr. Arunji, you have your court fees? And I'm like, court fees? Fuck. Fuck, I didn't know that. He goes, you know what? I'm so amazed you pulled this off. We're going to waive your court fees.
No way.
Stay out of my fucking courthouse. I mean, I fucking skipped out of that motherfucker.
That's amazing. I was really hoping that story had a like a good ending like that. Because I still have 38-hour days to do, so maybe we'll get on a double after this, and we'll
maybe
arrange
7 years
something,
will
you know
go by. Wait, you don't have to do it after 7 years, right?
I've had like 2.5 years to do it.
No, you do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, warrants don't die.
Oh. I did community service recently, man, at the Sylmar Juvenile Hall.
Statue of Limitations?
I was there in 85.
Straight up. same spot, you know? Yeah. And what we did was we were in the laundry room, right? And I guess this is what they call an easy day, right? Because they brought us into the laundry room of Sylmar Juvenile Hall, and there's just these big bins of dirty clothes. And I was the new guy. I didn't really know what was going down. And people start putting on gloves and like kind of like masks and all this stuff. I was like, I mean, it's gross. Yeah, it's dirty laundry, but this is a little extreme.
But your hands were already,
you know,
black.
That's a little extreme. You know what I mean?
How long ago was this?
Just a few months ago.
Oh, you were sober.
Yeah, yeah. And what it was is that these little shits in there, what they do is they take gloves from the cleaning room and they piss in them and then tie them up and then throw them in with the dirty laundry. So it's like when you're going through the laundry, it's like just like explosions of these piss gloves and everything.
Oh my god.
And everyone's psyched to do it too. They're like, this is an easy day, bro. And this was something unrelated to what I have to do now. And I just did that one day and I was like, holy I'm thinking, fuck, dude. Like, if that's an easy day, then I don't know. So we'll hop on Adobe later, dude. Maybe we'll work something out, you know?
I thought you were doing this before you got sober when you would like have just like barbecue Joe black hands, and then you would like finger bang a girl and give her a urinary tract infection. Hey, that wasn't on the list of things I'm not allowed to talk about.
Strikes again.
There was a time where I was partying with this girl and like whatever. This is, we're talking many, many years ago. And we, you know, we go downtown and we score downtown and we go back to the valley and we're whatever, we party, and next thing you know, I'm fucking finger blasting her or whatever, and I take, you know, we stop and I look at my hands and they're pitch black from just, sometimes you go down to the nickel, the down in Skid Row, and your hands will just get dirty regardless. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't even need to touch anything. It's just, they're just, and I remember saying like, god damn, my hands are really dirty, like maybe I should have washed my hands, right? And she looks at me and she's just like, and just gets up, gets her purse, and just bailed right there, you know. Just like, I killed the mood, you know what I'm saying? For sure, you know? Like, so I stuck out on that one for sure, but
glad those days are all over.
Yeah. So this reminded me of this. It's weird, it's not a fake drug story, but it does have something fake in it. So weird. I could have sworn I told this in, like, I'm gonna say this was 1993 or something. A friend of mine got out of prison. I hadn't seen him since we were in high school, and I link up with him, and he's one of the, you know, there's always these random dudes who they were drug dealers, but they would like get the chemicals, and then, you know, like they pay Joey to cook this shit, and Joey gets half of it, or you know what I mean, or Annie cook whatever.
Totally.
So okay, fuck, this story's way out. Anyway, so I run into my friend Buckethead.
From Guns N' Roses?
No, this is like, he's before
predates
that guy.
GNR.
Yeah, but he's a guy who went to high school. It's weird. He was like on the baseball team, whatever. You know, typical story. It went all awry. He joined the Marines. He was violent. He ended up in prison. He got out, and I reunite with him. We're like 20. I'm probably 22 or 23. He's like 24 or 25. And, you know, he's in a prison gang now and all this. Now he's actually, he's in the witness protection program now. That's a whole nother story. But but he was gangster as a motherfucker.
2 minutes you're talking about.
And what happened is, so I go to meet him. He's living in this pad in Pomona with this other dude who I had beef with since high school. And we're there, but, you know, we're like, it's me, those two, and then a couple of girls, and I'm there. And it's like, I hadn't seen this dude since high school. He just always had like some beef with me, I think we dated the same girl or something. I dated some girl, then he dated her after. It was weird. But we get to the fucking pad, and, you know, like, we're in action. It's like, you know, like, they're somebody was cooking dope for him, and then it kind of froze up. You know, it was in the wrong thing. So we needed somebody to fix it. So I call my friend Robbie, and Robbie comes down. Robbie's going to fix it. And Robbie's like, you got to go get some, Keith, I need you to go get some Red Devil Lye, right? I go, okay. It's daytime. It's in Pomona, like I said. So I take Buckethead's truck. It's like a Ford Ranger. And I take it, and I'm fucking going to, you know, like anywhere that would sell Red Devil Lye, like a fucking, you know, I mean, like a grocery store, fucking.
I'm not as familiar with Red Devil Lye, but please, please tell.
Well, Red Devil Lye is just like, you know, it's like a, it's a drain cleaner, basically. Oh, okay, right. You know, you could get it anywhere, but.
The whole thing of buying lye.
Yeah.
But never meat is never good.
No.
You're either you're disposing of some kind of a corpse,
yeah,
or you're mixing up some, yeah, sort of a drug. There's, yeah, no like, hey, I just need some lye for cooking.
This, you know, this must have been actually like 95, actually, I mean, or 96. Because it was like deep into like, this is when like the whole San Gabriel Valley, all they were doing is trying to bust people cooking meth. But I'm driving around from store to store, and after the second or third store, you know, I'm hitting these stores, but nobody sells lye. It's fucking weird. And I can't remember if I was in Pomona or Ontario, you know, or whatever, but you know, they're right next to each other. Whatever it was, though, I'm hitting all these stores. I'm like, fuck, I mean, everyone I'm going into, there's no Red Devil Lye, right? But you know, you have to stop and check in because they have an active lab. And you know what I mean? If you're gone too long, you know what I mean? They're going to think you're fucking telling or whatever. So I'm pulling over and calling them. So I pull up in front of this, like, I think it was a Lucky Market or whatever. And it's daytime, by the broad daylight. And I pull up, and I go to jump out of the truck, and the fucking seatbelt won't unbuckle, and it also won't move. And I'm like, fuck, because I got to get to this phone to call them and tell them, like, yo, you know, I'm striking out, whatever. And I'm like, fuck. And but I, like, I'm trying everything, and I'm like, dude, this is fucked. And we had, like, a burner phone. This is, like, the very early periods of the cell phones when somebody would get them and they would hack some like thing and everybody had the same number for 2 days and it would burn out or whatever. And I had one, but it was burned out. So I had to get to this fucking payphone, and I'm looking, and you know how the payphones, you know, against the building, like outside the grocery store door. And I'm like, so it's probably like 8 feet from the actual street. And I'm looking and I'm like, I got to get to this fucking thing. And there's people everywhere. And I'm just like, fuck, man. And, but you know, I'm on the driver's side, so I have to turn the truck around on the wrong side and fucking, you know, shimmy it. Because there's like arches, you know, like a Spanish building. And I have to shimmy it back and forth. I'm just like, I mean, dude, it took for fucking ever. Like, you know, because you have to get, yeah. I mean, up on the curb. Then you have to go get the other wheels up on the curb. But you can, you know, I don't have much space. I probably have a few feet on either end. And I'm just going, and people are like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And I reach out and I fucking barely get the phone. I had to fucking ask somebody to dial the number for me. I couldn't reach the buttons, you know, because I'm stuck. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck's going on with your truck. Look, I'm here. I can't get out of the fucking truck, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, cut the fucking seatbelt or whatever. I'm like, all right, but, you know, whatever. I'm on it. So I leave. But now I don't want to be in this spot anymore. Now I have to fucking, and then to get out. Back on the road, and I take off. I go to the next fucking, the next, like, CVS or some shit. And then I'm just striking out everywhere I go. Nobody has any fucking Red Devil Lye. And eventually I call them again.
Fucking, like, hate when that
this
happens.
Is seriously a Chris Isaac song.
Yeah. Because after I left the fucking, you know, the payphone where I was stuck, I cut the seatbelt. He told me to. He's like, cut that fucking seatbelt. I'm like, all right.
Or David Lynch.
But I'm like, I go to the next one and I'm fucking strike out again. And somebody lived right around the corner from there. I'm like, fuck, I got to go by there because this is a blow at not having a seatbelt. You know, you want to follow the rules when you're in action. So I go over there, me and my buddy, we take duct tape, just black duct tape, and tape it across our chest, you know, like it's a seatbelt. And I take him with me, you know, like, I mean, it's a 2-inch wide, shiny black strip. It's not like fucking paper tape. It's thick.
It's not a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, but yeah. We were all proud of ourselves, you know, we're like, yeah, it's cruising. And eventually,
for sure.
Somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody at a store, I think somebody told us, like, oh, they don't sell lye in this city anymore because people are cooking speed and shit. So eventually we get it, we go back, dude, but we walked in that house. I mean, both of us, we probably look like crossing guards with these black stripes.
And also, what is your rank, space captain?
Dude, but we walk in and Buckethead's like,
how many Grolusks do you have on you?
And Buckethead's like, what the fuck? Everybody is looking at us, you know, like, what the fuck is with? I go, dude, you told me to cut the fucking seatbelt, man. We had to fucking figure something. I don't know why we didn't take it off before we went there. I mean, it must have looked ridiculous. Yeah. Us walking to the house with the black strips across the thing. Anyway, eventually.
No, that didn't look ridiculous.
Was that batch fire? Or?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. My one, he was kind of like the fucking, he was like the save a batch. My buddy, right? He was a great dope cook. He was a good dude, but like.
Captain Save a Batch.
I told a story before where I had ended up in El Monte at this shady ass house where these girls had locked up this dope. He had to come do it then too. But I, you know, like they're like, I because I'm not a big tinker. I'll fuck with things like bicycles or whatever, but I'm not fucking with anything with electronics. But so I was pretty proud of myself for the fake seatbelt.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's clever, and I mean we've all refurbished a bicycle or two in our day. So
yeah,
it's understandable as well. You know.
I refurbished my whole house, and it actually turned out pretty good, but I lost a lot of cabinet doors and stuff, like, you know, I'd take it off the hinges to paint it and bring it outside, and like somebody would steal one, I thought, but maybe it just got lost.
Oh, yeah.
I also counted at one point, there was over 100 single socks that the partner was missing. And they were nice socks that I bought in like Europe and stuff on tour, and they're just like $14 pair of socks that go all the way up here. I don't know if Robert would throw them away like just to like exact silent revenge on me, because there was a period where Robert had the whole household. His friend was living there, and his friend was weird as it was. He's the kind that goes straight into psychosis, and he worked at this place called Space Corp. CORPS, like for the government, allegedly with space stuff. So he was living in my house in a complete meth psychosis, going to work for the government with, and he would come home and like write things all over his arms, like I am Roman, I am Truman, because I did a like live cast internet show. He thought he was in the Truman Show, I guess.
Fuck.
And Roman is the name of a demon, so I figured that was what he was talking about. And then he would like shut down everything at work because he's like, so, oh no, somebody's breached the security, when really he was just high on meth. But Robert knew that this guy was fucking a J-cat. And so we noticed, okay, I was really into what's it called when like you're being gang stalked, so like a community is watching you, maybe breaking into your house, moving everything 1 inch to the left just to fuck with you.
See any vans lately?
Exactly. And so he knew that this was my topic. This was my topic of like interest. And so he would see the videos too, and so he started having, well, Rafi's shit started to disappear one thing at a time. First, the hugest TV I've ever seen from the kitchen was gone. The next day, his guitar is gone. And the next day, his recording gear is gone. Robert had us convinced that we were being organized gang stalked, and like gang stalkers were coming and stealing shit. And
let
then,
alone all the stuff that they were going in and reworking without even you knowing.
Right.
You have the toaster, and you can take a toaster apart, you can put it right back together, and no one's ever going to know that. You just move one little piece.
Well, I was believing it. I was like, man, we are being gang stalked, because at the same time, Rafi would do crazy shit. Like, he would go to the airport, buy a ticket to fucking, you know, New York, and he'd get on the plane, and the voices in his head of his mom and dad that communicated with him when he was in a mess psychosis would say, okay, the probability of a complete or of fatality on this mission is 100%. And like, that's the kind of shit that he would hear. So everything was insane, and I bought into it 150%. Then I left the house to go to my mom's, and as soon as I got there, I started telling her this stuff, like what was happening. I was like, oh no, it's Robert's stealing it, you know, obviously, but we would all be at home. It turns out he would have his drug dealer come in while we were all home and in the house together every night and steal like some major piece of Rafi's stuff, so that by the time he moved out, he barely had anything left. Like all his most expensive and treasured items had been like stolen by the drug dealer. But fuck, it was good. Robert was good. Like, I believed it until you break out of the like hypnosis that's going on, that like of the inside of the house, which is a swirl of nonstop chaos. Like you believe it.
I was around a lot of people cooking speed. And what a lot of people don't understand is like, I mean, now it's made in like the super labs in Mexico. But at that time, when it was just, you know, a shitload of people, you know, like fucking heavy metal dudes and shit making it. The thing about it is, like, you know, when somebody goes into that psychosis, because I like I was telling you, the one time I got out of the joint, I did Bob, that guy Bob Lowney's dope, the one that had me peeking out the windows. I knew, I'm like, this fucking, the pH isn't right on this, because everybody's, I mean, we were really fucked up, like complete paranoia, which I never had. And the dawn on me, because most of the speed cooks were dudes.
Right, right.
And even like one of my favorite, I mean, good friend of mine, Diana, she was a lady who cooked speed, but she would cook it because they would pH test it, you know? And a woman's pH level is different than a man's. And I used to always remember, like, in the 90s, like, several, like, we'd be doing dope, and then, like, this one girl I remember, she was completely normal, and then she did it and immediately went into this, like, shit, thinking she had, like, kids with a Martian. And I mean, it was a thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was so fucking laid out. It was like, it was, you know, she's like, yeah, well, you know, I was married to Zoltan. I have 130 kids. I mean, it was fucking bananas. And it dawned on me one time, we were in Ontario at this house, and I was like, it's a fucking pH level. You know what I mean? It's like, there's dudes making it, so they're pHing it to, like, do, you know, be perfect for them. Mm-hmm. So it would spin a lot of these women out.
Ah, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
And people don't realize, you know, because there's a difference.
What you would test with, like, aquarium strips or something like that?
Yeah, they have, like, the shit you use in a pool or something.
Because some shit you get, it makes you, like, really prodgy. It's, like, prodgy. Like, yeah. I want to do projects. Other times you get the really horny shit where it's, like, uh-oh. Like, you know, you feel that one right in your root chakra. I don't know what other kinds there are. The really, like, talking, like...
Well,
I'm gonna go hit a lick.
Yeah. Yeah. Every bag was that for Joey.
Wait, Danny, you and Joey had the same drug dealers, right?
It's hit a lick, by the way. I'm sorry.
That means commit a crime. Hit a lick,
do a robbery.
Does that mean like a liquor store, basically?
No. Hit a lick means to, like, yeah, just like a robbery, like pull off a heist. Of sorts, you know?
Take something that's not yours.
Yeah, yeah. We should make a little, like, a dictionary to go along.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Did you say a dictionary? ADD dictionary? That's a great word. I don't know if I heard that.
The addictionary.
A dictionary.
I didn't mean that, but you heard it.
I heard a great one the other night, Sublimade. Like, oh, this is such a good limeade. I go, a Sublimade?
That's a great one.
All right, guys. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And tune back in for us. We'll have episodes coming up. And follow us on Instagram and listen to us on wherever you find your podcasts, whether it's Spotify or the Apple. There's the Apple.
Instagram is It Is All Bad. Please follow, like.
Yeah, peace.